are living in urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, my friends, a snow squall is hitting our area, and it's March 28th, 2022. After last week, it was in the 70s, and now the feel-like temperature, I believe, is 20 here in the Philadelphia area, and we all just received snow squall alerts. So I'm scratching my head as my hyacinths outside were trying to break through the ground, and I'm sure they won't make it now. Because of the snow squalls, we just had a temporary one, and then another one is supposed to be coming at 4:15. So praise God. We need the moisture. Praise God for the cold. Praise God that we can be together here during this third week of Lent. So let us begin with prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we praise you and thank you for all that you're about. We thank your Blessed Mother for intervening on our behalf. We offer up all the listeners today who have heartache, who have special prayer petitions. We offer this all up to you, Lord Jesus. We pray for peace in the world. We pray for peace in our country, in our families. We thank you and praise you for all that you want of us. And we glorify your holy name. And we consecrate ourselves to your Immaculate Heart and your Sacred Heart. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I do not have a special guest today, but we're going to be talking about traits of those who want to make a difference in the world, in the families, in the workplace. But first, I want to read, as you know, my love for Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen. I want to read a beautiful writing that he did called Simple Truth. And it's about divine cheerfulness. Yes, there is something called divine cheerfulness. Here, this is what he wrote. Quote, cheer may be natural, in which case it springs from an inborn vitality and zest for living. Even those who lack it can cultivate it to some extent, as marching music lessens fatigue. But there's another kind of cheerfulness which is divine in origin. St. Paul bade others to have it as believing in God. This counsel he spoke to others in the midst of a storm at sea, promising them relief and rescue without loss of life. This kind of cheerfulness is found in Francis of Assisi, who expressed the joy of grace to his soul by song. Therese of Avila, who lived a life of great penance, was wont to pour out her joy in that inner world of spirituality by clapping her hands and dancing in the Spanish style. In the history of the world, there never has been a sad saint, because sanctity and sadness are opposites. These are from the writings of Archbishop Fulton Sheen. I'm going to say this again. In the history of the world, there never has been a sad saint, because sanctity and sadness are opposite. And so Archbishop Fulton Sheen wrote that he wanted everyone today to meditate on wisdom and knowledge. He wanted us to help us to find gladness and save us from the foolishness of sin, and to smile sincerely at everyone you meet today. So grab your pencils, grab your paper. We're going to have a teaching on the traits of those who want to make a difference, a spiritual difference. This refers to you if you're a businessman or woman, a mother, housewife, homeschooler, person in the nursing home, person in prison, single, widow, young person. I pray that you stay with me and that this touches your life in a special way. So we're going to be talking about a person of influence, how you become impassioned. So passion is born. God calls you and says, look, this is a need. You see the need? You know you can fill the need. And deep in your heart, you know your life will never be the same. However, finding your passionate call, Mary, Sue, Joey, Tara, is not responding to every need put in front of you. God selects specific people to meet specific needs. I'm going to say that again. God selects specific people to meet specific needs. Now, the seed of passion is planted in our lives by God. Passion is not something we have to go in search of. We need to search for God. But when we seek to be intimately connected with Him, He will use the desires of our heart, the circumstances of our life, and His confirming word to solidify and reveal this passion. And it's not something you can just walk away from, because it is part of you. I believe that God places a calling on each of our lives. Sometimes in the Bible, parents were told by God that their children were to accomplish a special work. Remember the story in the sacred scriptures, the parents of St. John the Baptist were told, quote, many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, end quote. And they will make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's in Luke 1, verses 16 to 17. And Jeremiah, he's not the favorite of a lot of people, but he was told by the Lord, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. That's Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 5. So, my friends, passion is a gift from God to empower you. Passion is pure motivation sent through pure means to accomplish pure results that will only glorify God and meet the needs of people. An impassioned heart may change or adapt over time. It can change, but the passion remains constant. So I'm going to give you an example. So say you have a passion for visiting the needy or going to a nursing home. So you may be passionate about caring for the needy or the hurting. That's a passion. I want you to think about that. What is your passion? What is your passion today? So let's go back to the sacred scriptures. There was a young and beautiful woman. Heads turned when she entered a room. She was married to a powerful, rich man, and life seemed perfect. Perfect except for a secret that she kept hidden from everyone, including her husband. Only her family knew who she really was. Then one day, she heard of a plot that would harm her family, her culture, and her future. The leader of a radical extremist group had gained the confidence of her husband and arranged for the wholesale slaughter of her entire people. Oh, she was safe, and the secret of her ethnic identity hadn't gotten out, but others were in danger. Her perfect life was crumbling before her eyes. So what should she do? What would you do? He received a visit from her uncle, and after he left, his words rang in her heart. Who knows? Maybe you've come to this position for such a time as this. She promised her uncle that she would go out to her husband on behalf of her people, and her secret would be out. Her life would be on the line, and with all that courage she could find, she asked those closest to her to pray, saying, if I perish, I perish. That's from the book of Esther, chapter 4, verse 16. But guess what? Esther didn't perish. She and her people were saved. Esther was transformed from a timid trembler to a passionate princess that we've all learned about by God's passion planted within her. God takes care of his impassioned people. Yes, he does. He lets you know when to act and when to be still. He lets you know when and how far to step into that passion. Are you aware of this? So it seems strange when it happens, but God will sometimes fill your heart with passion. And then, as we've talked about for weeks and weeks and maybe over a year, you have to wait. Yep. He might fill your heart with a passion, and then you have to wait. And at times, his purpose for your life is best accomplished when he puts your passion on hold. Yes, sometimes that passion is put on hold. Did you know that? Are you aware of that? Are you ready for that? And sometimes, this is the part that's the most, it is so difficult for all of us. Passion is sometimes planted by pain. Passion is sometimes planted by pain, yes. And the passion we're talking about is not just a feeling. We're not talking about a feeling. Feelings can be acted upon if it's convenient. Passion must be acted on. Passion must be acted on. Passion's roots run really deep, and they're wrapped around deep-rooted beliefs. And those convictions are the difference between a feeling that goes up in flames quickly. How many of us have experienced that? I have a feeling, and they go up in flames. An eternal fiery bush that burns yet is not consumed. So convictions are the staying power for passion. How do you discover what those convictions are? So I'm asking you that. I want you to think about that and write it down. How do you discover what those convictions are? So the best way, my friends, is to discover what you're truly passionate about is to ask yourself just a few questions. I don't care if you're a successful businessman, woman, career woman, homeschooling mom, widow, prisoner, someone in a nursing home. What truth would you die for? What truth would you die for? And what principles would you go to jail to protect? Oh, we have some amazing pro-life people who will go to jail to protect the life of a preborn baby. What people would you place on your neck and put your neck on a chopping block for? What cause and why would you do it? Think about that right now. I want you to really think about what truths would you die for? What principles would you go to jail to protect? And what people would you place your neck on the chopping block for? And why would you do this? Why would you do this? So you reasoned that if you knew what you would die for, what would you die for? Many of us answer our family or a loved one. What would you die for or our faith? We reasoned that if we knew what we would die for, we would know what to live for. Let me say that again. That's a powerful statement. If we reasoned that we knew what we would die for, we would know what to live for. Now, here are some basic tenets I want you to write down. The inerrancy of sacred scripture, your personal relationship with Jesus Christ is based upon truth, the Bible. If the Bible is the basis for your relationship, you must be ready to defend it. God's word is life. Your heart will soon dry up without the precious nourishment from God's word. So this is something to live for or to die for. Second, the character of God. God is triune. He's the all-knowing, all-loving creator and sustainer of life. He is wholly good, righteous, and unchanging as we know it. He's all-powerful. He's always faithful, and God lacks nothing. He's utterly dependable. The next point is the deity of Christ. If Christ was not the eternal incarnate God who died for the sins of human beings, then his sacrifice would have not been eternal and complete, right? His sacrifice would not have been eternal and complete. It would be limited, and your faith would be, and my faith would be in vain, because Jesus is God, and his sacrifice is complete. Now, the Holy Spirit is God. Jesus said another of the same kind would come to comfort, lead, and guide us. We talked about this last week, the power of the Holy Spirit. God resides in all of us to live through us. The other issue, the other tenet is to recognize I am sinful. My personal sinfulness separates me from the Holy God. I'm imperfect. Therefore, I need a mediator to reconnect my relationship, and Christ is that mediator. Salvation is impossible through any other means. The church universal is God's method for reaching the world with his love. Really? Well, how about the independents? I'm going to read this again, because this is something written by scholars, by those who have lived it. The church universal is God's method for reaching the world with his love. Now, I know all of us won't die for a building. Maybe there are a few listening. But I will die for the right to assemble, worship, and proclaim the truth. Would you die for that? The right to assemble, to worship, and die for the truth. So what beats in your heart that if it were to vanish, you would no longer be you? I want you to think about that. What beats in your heart today that if it were to vanish, poof, you would no longer be you? Like Jeremiah, you can discover your passion. And he said, but if I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. That's Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet. Yes, he was called to be a prophet. He was a proclaimer of God's truth. And even if the people didn't respond, and they didn't, by the way, he still proclaimed the truth. And when he got tired of the poor results coming in and wanted to quit, like we all do sometimes, he still kept proclaiming. Even his body would react if he didn't proclaim, because he was born to be a proclaimer. That was his passion. So what were you born to be? Answer that question. What were you born to be? Now, here's how you can discover the passion that God designed uniquely for you. What is on your mind as you go to sleep at night? What's on your mind when you go to sleep at night? And then the first thing in the morning when you wake up. When you sit for those rare quiet moments and daydream, where do your thoughts take you? What movies bring you to tears? What injustices make your blood boil? And when you read God's word, are there common themes in the verses you mark? What breaks your heart? Answer that question. What breaks your heart? What makes your blood boil? What is on your mind as you go to sleep at night? And then the first thing in the morning. Have you discovered what it means to live and to love life? With all the bad news, with all the things happening the past couple years, are we crippled? Are we crippled emotionally, spiritually, and physically? Have we lost our sense of living and loving life? God promises us to lift us up in our high place. And so you have the opportunity, all of us have the opportunity to say, with the prophet Habakkuk, the Lord God is my strength. He's made my feet like hind feet and makes me walk on my high places. That's Habakkuk 3, verse 19. Passion will carry you to your high places. It's when you are there in the place of your passion that you can say, I know who I was born to be. I know who I was born to be. Passion, it works, my friends. So when you find that which breaks the heart of Christ, the heart that Christ placed in you, then you'll find your passion. When you find that which breaks the heart that Christ placed in you, then you will find your passion. Father Edmund Sylvia, on a retreat, maybe 8-9 years ago, said, he quoted St. Augustine, and he said, be dazzled. Christ is dazzled in the woundedness of our hearts. I remember that hit me like a spear. Let Christ dazzle you in the woundedness of your heart. So today, here's an assignment for you. Write 3 sentences that capture times when you were moved to tears. Decide on some action or resolve to reach out. I want you to think about that. I want you to write 3 sentences, not this minute, but tonight, that captured you when you were moved to tears. It may have been the Ukraine. It may have been seeing babies aborted at an abortion mill. Maybe a loved one dying. It may be a car accident. 3 sentences tonight that capture when you were moved to tears, because this is a dividing, very important, very, very important moment for you and your healing and knowing your passion. Again, we're talking about the 10, well, not 10, but there are actually more traits of those who want to make a difference, a spiritual difference. Are you ready? So I want you to choose 1 idea from the following list to try out each day this week. Can you do it? This is a Lenten exercise. Make your prayer more concrete by writing it out as a letter to Jesus. We talked last week about journaling. So write a letter to Jesus. Make it really concrete. Make your prayer concrete by writing it out as a letter to Jesus. Dear Jesus, I would really like my children to return to church, or I need to be healed of cancer, or my finances are bad, or whatever. Whatever is on your heart today. Then go on a prayer walk, talking to the Lord as you walk along. You don't have to live in a park or be at the shore. You can walk around your neighborhood or walk around your building if you live in an apartment. Pray through sacred scripture. Write out the verses and personalize them with your name. For example, Psalm 84, verse 11. No good thing does he withhold from blank who walks uprightly. So no good thing does he withhold from Tara, Joey, Sarah, Michael, who walks uprightly. Put your name in that sacred scripture line. Hey, I think the young people would love this. Make a poster with one of your favorite verses on it. Put it on your refrigerator. Or take a photo and have it developed into a poster. Then write the verse on the poster with a magic marker. Read the Bible through. Mark it up with those yellow or pink magic markers and give it as a gift to a child. As you read, try to picture God through his or her eyes. Can you do that? Mark the verses that you think will help the child in the transitions to come in his or her life. Now, I love this. I'm going to try this myself. Make devotion baskets. Place them in several areas of your home. Decorate each basket and place in that basket a pen, a Bible, a devotional or inspirational book and paper. Now we're getting ready for the Easter baskets for the kids to make devotion baskets. What a great, great idea. Sing for your entire time with God. You may want to try your hand at songwriting too. Oh, you would be surprised. Some of the greatest songs come out of the hurt, the woundedness of our hearts. Write down a song. You don't have to be an accomplished writer or musician or lyricist. And dance before the Lord like David. Maybe you enjoy Jewish dancing or ballet and dedicate your talent to Christ. Begin, I did this, a miracle scrapbook. Yep, a miracle scrapbook. Keep photos and mementos that remind you of God's grace to you. Don't you love that? A devotion basket and a miracle scrapbook. Remember, we're trying to uncover the passion that Christ has given you in your heart. Write down every sin that continues to haunt you. Write it down. Then write 1 John verses 1 verse 9 over the list. This is a visual of God blotting out your sin. Destroy the list. Throw it in the trash. Remember last week we talked about renewing your mind and throwing the garbage out? Destroy the list and then give it to God. And then if you're Roman Catholic, go to confession with that list. Very, very important. Now, write out a Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 list. Write out a Philippians 4, verse 8 list. Now, what is nice and happy and lovely for you, and what's worthy of praise, and what's excellent to you? You'll like Philippians 4, verse 8. What's happy? What makes you happy? What is lovely? What's worthy of praise? Then pray in a way you're not accustomed to. Oh, that's a tough one. Pray in a way you're not accustomed to. So try on your knees. I can't get on my knees. My knees don't bend too well anymore. But if you can't, you know, lean over your bed, try on your knees or prone or stand with your face to the heavens and your hands raised up in worship. If you can't kneel, raise your hands in worship to the Lord. And prepare a way to speak out for Jesus. So write a letter to a friend or create a greeting card. Write to a newspaper or create an ad campaign. My favorite thing to do, write an ad campaign. And then give a gift to God. Can you donate anonymously to someone in need? Someone last week donated to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network anonymously. How powerful a statement. How powerful a statement. It touched Kathleen in a very powerful way. When you do something anonymously, it's very, very powerful. How about going to a Christian bookstore and trying out a new Bible study tool? Some people say, I don't understand the Bible. Well, there's a concordance. Go to a Christian Bible store or a Christian store and look for a concordance so you can learn the scriptures. So are you ready to praise Jesus from A to C, saying, Jesus, you are amazing. You're beautiful. Yes, can you do that? So my friends, after the break, we're going to come back. We have so much more to unpack. We're talking about traits of those who want to make a difference spiritually, how you could free up the blocks in your life. We have a powerful ending for you, my friends. So make this part of your Lenten journey, and after the break, we'll come back with many joyful, helpful hints. Hold on, please.
You're listening to In His Sign, Catholic Radio. empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Well, my friends, welcome back. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Anne McGlone, on Thy Will Be Done. We have so much to cover today. As part of our Lenten journey, we're going through specific exercises in terms of enriching your spiritual life. And I ask that you grab your pencil and paper. Unless you're driving, please don't. And we have so much more to cover. So we're trying to grow our intimacy with God by learning the passion. And by learning the passion, we're learning and discerning what God wants of us. So think back, my friends, and picture your life before you were even a Christian. So perhaps you were baptized a Christian at birth through Roman Catholic baptism, or perhaps you're not a Catholic and you're listening and you were baptized later in life. What has Jesus saved you from? So whether you're Catholic at birth and being baptized, or you're a non-Catholic right now and you were baptized later in life, what did Jesus save you from? So I want you to think about how your relationship with God is from a different point of view. So, for example, your teen son may say, "Hey, Mom, you have a radical walk with Jesus." She gets so stoked, which means excited. "Awesome, dude." It's a different language than we're used to. Instead of, "Mom has such a beautiful relationship with God. It really moves me. It's very sacred." Learn the language of other people. They could be saying the same thing. Memorize one of the prayers in the Bible. Mary's prayer in Luke 1, verses 46 to 55 is a good start. Mary's prayer in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55 is a good start. Memorize it. Now, this is a good one. Write down and thank all the people in your life who helped you grow as you walk this year. Or write to mentors from the past. No, it doesn't have to be an epistle. Just write down the people who have helped you in your life. Thank them. Send them a little note. Thank you. Or write to the mentors from your past. Just a little thank you. And write out a list of theological questions you'd like answered. Start researching it. Start researching. Don't just take an answer. Research it. And go early to church. And no matter what church you belong to, try going early. Walk the rows. Sit in different places. I don't know about you, but sometimes when we go to Mass, people get really mad if you sit in their pew. So sit in different places and pray for others who will sit there later. That's really great, isn't it? Pray for the people who will sit there later. And boy, this is a good one. Exercise to Christian music. Exercise. Put your ear pods in. Or put something on the radio, an exercise, or a DVD or CD, an exercise to Christian music. And then, here's the ultimate. Tell one person this week who doesn't know Christ that you do know and love him. Can you do that? Tell one person this week how much God loves them. So when we are overly dependent, this will surprise a lot of us, when we're overly dependent on our friends, we run the risk of quenching our obedience to God. I've seen this repeatedly. Repeatedly, when we're overly dependent on our friends, we run the risk of quenching our obedience to God. We can also develop bad friendship patterns that isolate us from future relationships that could be a joy and a blessing. On one hand, relationships are essential for our well-being. And we have to learn, friends, the difference between healthy interdependence and destructive dependence relationships. Now, I know those who are involved in 12-step programs know this and codependency programs. But many of us as listeners, this may be we've heard it a little bit and really didn't pay attention to it. But it's very important as we journey to finding that passion that's planted in our hearts. Interdependence says, I'll be there for you. Dependence says, you can't do without me. Again, interdependence says, I'll be there for you. And dependence says, you cannot do it without me. Interdependence says, hey, I want you to change and grow. And dependence says, I want you to stay the same as me. Save money, stay here, it's good for you. That is putting a chain on someone. Interdependence says, I'll wait until it's convenient. And dependence says, I'll impose on you, but you'll understand. After all, you love me, don't you? No matter what I do, you love me no matter. And interdependence says, what can I do to help you? Dependence says, what can you do to help me? So inter, those of you who took Latin, means between. Interdependence, that's between relationships, says, I'm grateful for what you've given. And dependence says, hey, you owe me more for what I did for you. You owe me more. So the Bible lists many principles for how we should relate to one another. Do you know those principles? Do you know those principles? I'm not sure. So when God wants to get our attention, this has happened to me. Things often get worse before they get better. Are you in that situation today as you listen to this program? When God wants to get our attention, things often get worse before they get better. So, you know, the wind, earthquakes, fire are within our souls. And when we've been burned out, hurt, God uses this time to get our attention. And sometimes he shakes the very foundation of our lives so we can see what we've been standing on. Yeah, pulls us back, wants us to look at the very foundation of our lives so we can see what we've been standing on, whether you're 20, 30, 40, 70, 80, 90, he pulls you back. Remember, if he wants to get our attention, things often get worse before they get better. And sometimes his fire purges. I heard Kathleen using that word last week. Sometimes his fire purges our heart of thoughts, plans, and desires that are unhealthy. And sometimes he allows the wind to whip in and carry off anything that's not nailed down in our life. Has that happened to you? It happened to the people in the Ukraine. To really restore us, he has to get us pared down to the necessary and the important. Then his gentle whisper will come. God asked Elijah, hey, what are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah repeated the exact same answer as before. But God didn't accept it this time. He recommissioned Elijah and gave him a reality check. Go back the way you came. Go to the desert of Damascus. And when you get there, anoint Hazael, king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of, I cannot say it, Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel, to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword, of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and all whose mouths have not kissed him. See, God restored Elijah's hope by reminding Elijah, and he's reminding us, you're called and needed. No matter who you are today, if you don't think you're called, you are, and you're needed. God has a plan for your safety. You're not alone. And here, by the way, is a network that will support you. He will give you the network that will support you. And often when we're burned out, it's because we aren't believing one of those statements. So God restored Elijah's hope by reminding Elijah, you're called and needed. I have a plan for your safety. You're not alone. And here's the network that will support you. So intensity is necessary for influence. Intensity, listen carefully, can accomplish what your heart can dream. So what's stopping you so short? What's stopping me so short? What makes you give up on a plan? Why do you feel exhausted or discouraged today? You can be an intense man or woman, and the gentle wind will cool your tired body and calm your frayed nerves. Now, no matter who you are or where you're at, turn your face to the Son of God and take a step, just one step forward. Remember, when God wants to get our attention, things often get worse before. Many of us have lived that. So what do you need today as you're driving down the Schuylkill Expressway or the Atlantic City Expressway or in Maryland? You need to step up to the starting line and stay in the race. Keep your eyes on the finish line. Listen to your coach. Who's your coach? Who is your coach? What step do you need to take to avoid burnout? When you're really under the gun, copy special verses from the Bible and sayings that rekindle your strength and post them on bright colored paper all over your office or home. Again, choose 3 or 4 sayings or verses. Write them out and post them. Then choose a favorite and mail it to a friend. We all need encouragement for this race of life. We all need encouragement. Don't you? I do. I need encouragement. Just because I'm on radio doesn't mean I don't need encouragement. I don't get sick. I don't get down and out. Basically, I live what is being preached here on the radio. Now, there are 2 ways of spreading light to be the candle of the mirror that reflects it. I love this. So the best gift God can receive is you. Wholeheartedly, unreservedly you. There's no stopping a heart that is wholly His. If we're fired up for God, as we should be, if you're listening to this radio station, if you're fired up for God, we will influence others naturally. You don't have to force it. If you're fired up, you're joyful, you smile. You know you've been through the burnout, but you live in hope. If you're fired up for God, we will influence others naturally. Being fired up isn't just a state of mind. Did you know that? Being fired up. I know I got fired up watching Villanova win yesterday with my husband. I was fired up. I loved it. Being fired up isn't just a state of mind. No, being aflame for God is the overflow of a life plugged into God. What? Being aflame for God is the overflow of a life plugged into God. Now, when your heart matches God's heart, it will make a difference because you'll be reflecting God's image. So God doesn't need your ability as much as your availability. I have a beautiful plaque someone gave me almost 45 years ago. it was probably 50 years ago when I lived on a coal mining site on a prairie in Gillette, Wyoming. I was basically alone, and someone gave me this plaque, and I have it, and I put it in all my offices throughout my career. God doesn't need your ability as much as your availability or your yes. Now, he can easily equip you, and you don't just have a ministry. You are a ministry. Kathleen will say that tomorrow. If you're listening, you are her evangelist. You don't just have a ministry. You are a ministry. And so if you decide to, you can be a contagious follower of God who influences others constantly as you go through your life to which God has called you. Jesus ministered all the time as he traveled, even in everyday situations, and he touched lives as he went from task to task, place to place. Your infectiousness will spread when you're flexible and tenacious in seeking to be an influence. Infectious men and women have a can-do attitude. Do you have a can-do attitude? Do you have a can-do attitude? I hope and pray you do. We all need a can-do attitude. So when Jesus left this world, he gave a great commission. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. This command, my friends, is for every person who knows Jesus Christ personally. He didn't say, hey, pastors, radio hosts, you go and make disciples, CCD teachers, or only directors of ministries, or only executives. And you might be asking, well, where are the ordinary men and women? Where are the ordinary men and women? We're all ordinary, but God is extraordinary. When you get this fact straight, then you will be on fire for the Lord. We're all ordinary, but God is extraordinary. So every Christian person is to be a person of influence. Every person is to make disciples. And every person is to go into the world and make a difference for Jesus. And whatever your gifts are, use them. Writing, sewing, cooking, driving a truck, cleaning a house, cleaning the church. Whatever your platform, use it. The two key verbs are go and make disciples. Don't wait to be asked to mentor them. Challenge people to be mentored, and don't wait to challenge yourself to be mentored. Ask someone to mentor you. Can you do that? Don't wait until someone asks you about Jesus. Go tell them. You and I must decide today whom we're called to influence. Are our gifts and talents being used for monetary popular recognition? Are they? Are our gifts and talents being used only for momentary popular recognition? Or is our influence carving out influence for Christ for generations to come? Who are we living for, ourselves or Christ? You are a man or woman of influence. Christ is working in you right now by you listening to this radio network. He wants you to make a difference. So here's the ultimate question. Here's the ultimate question. So tonight I want you to do this when you go home, or if you're at home, draw a picture of your headstone. Oh, this is not morbid. This really will help you to see where you're at within your relationship with the Lord. Draw a picture of your headstone. What do you want on your headstone? What words do you want written on your headstone? Write 3 to 5 sentences tonight that capture what's on your heart today. Write 3 to 5 sentences that captures what's on your heart today. Now, make a list of people who need the influence of God given through you. Be honest. Be authentic. Make a list of people who need the influence of God given through you. Now, choose one person or one group and create a plan for being a man or woman of influence. Choose one person or one group and create a plan for being a man or woman of influence. So what do you want on your headstone? What do you want on your headstone? Think about that. Don't wait. Don't think, oh, I have 50 years or I have 20 years or I have 10 years. What do you want on your headstone tonight? Can you do that? Do you know what you want to live for, even what you're willing to die for? Think about this. These are questions of reflection for you. These are questions of reflection. How do you want to live out your life? And how does your special passion affect your life today? Well, there's some men who may be listening or women who like to work on engines of cars or like to landscape. So how does that affect your life today? And what changes would you like to make in order to carry out your passion? What changes? Can you do that? What changes would you like? What are you willing to die for? Because if you know what you're willing to die for, you know what you're willing to live for. Are you being the leader God made you to be? Are you feeling constrained by unrealistic expectations, either your own or others? And how do you personally nourish your intimacy with God daily? Your worth to God in public is what you are in private. Your worth to God in public is what you are in private. Do you really agree with that statement? Do you really agree? Can you be an idealist and a realist at the same time? And what character trait of God do you need a better view of, and why? Can you do that? I mean, these are all questions of reflection that take us to another level, that take us to another level of contemplation and preparing for Easter. List natural connections you have with people who need Jesus, coworkers, volunteer groups, colleagues at work. Get ideas from the group on how to strengthen their relationship with Christ. And how do you feel about helping someone else grow in their faith and personal development? Share your life purpose statement. Create a life purpose statement. What are you living for and what would you die for? And then in your little journal or a piece of paper, write a prayer to God listing areas you'd like to grow in, asking for him to help you. Asking him to help you. Can you do this? Remember, God doesn't need your ability as much as your availability. And you don't just have a ministry. You are a ministry. You can become a contagious follower of God who influences others constantly as you go through the life. You're asking yourself, what am I living for? What would I be willing to die for? And remember, your infectiousness will spread when you're flexible and tenacious in seeking to be an influencer spiritually in the lives of your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers. You have a can do. I can do, Lord, whatever it is that you ask of me. Do you have that can do in your heart tonight? Are you ready to perform diligently, earnestly, strenuously, in order to reach a predetermined goal of what you're living for and what you would die for? Are you ready? And how do we endure? How do we stay in the race? That's the question always asked when I give a retreat. How do you endure? How do we put up with the pressure? How do we do that? And how can you hear what your life is requiring you to bear? People with cancer who are listening, emotional depression, spiritual aridity, how do you endure? It is through the mercy of God. So I'm asking all of our listeners today to pray for all those who are listening, who are spiritually arid, dry, who feel no sense of purpose or passion, who haven't been to church in years, haven't been to confession, who are seeking what God wants them to do, to be an influencer, a spiritual influencer. Try to pray for the people who are listening today, who are having a hard time connecting. In our hectic world, my friends, God's presence is a haven for sanity. In our hectic world, God's presence is a haven for sanctity. Our sanity and sanctity. Refocus your heart on God and make sure your prayer connection is enhanced with the sacred scriptures and the return of the sacrament, or perhaps adoration. Can you do that? What are you living for, and what would you die for? Remember, the word intimacy, connecting with God, comes from the Latin intimus, which means innermost. And this is what God wants of all of us listening today. God's desire is to let you and me in on his innermost thoughts. And as we reflect on those, he becomes a mirror to our own soul. Yes. And some of us have fallen prey to lies about ourselves and our relationships to God. Have you? Have I? Listen. It's time to listen, my friends. This is what this radio network is about. Healing, formation, giving hope, catechizing. Don't think for a moment you tuned in by accident today. Don't think for a minute. Feel confident in Christ that he has a plan for you. Yes, he has a plan for you. Be open to the unique role God has for you in changing your life and the lives of others. Grab your hat, my friends. Grab your hat. So let us consider how we may spur one another into action on towards love and good deeds. How can we do that? We can do that by loving and praying and interceding. So when you find that which breaks the heart that Christ placed in you, you will find your passion. When you find that which breaks the heart that Christ placed in you, you will find your passion. Remember, I want you to draw a tombstone tonight. It's not a morbid exercise, but write on that tombstone what you want people to read and see and what you feel in your heart. Until next week, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you. And remember the Wake Up America dinner, May 1st at Malvern Retreat House. Don't forget it. Tune in to Kathleen tomorrow on Facebook Live from 4 to 6 p.m. God bless you.
Be alert. Stand firm. Trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in next week for a new dose